Well, thank you thank you for being here this morning. This is our second session, and this one is entitled Peace at All Times in Every Way. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. This will be our verse for this morning, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And that says, Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in always in every way. The Lord will be with you all. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The world is looking for peace. The leaders in Washington are trying to broker peace between Ukraine and Russia. United Nations are trying to bring peace. Peace, everyone is looking for peace in this world. The Pope said a couple weeks ago, quoting him, the paths of peace may be opened in the Middle East, in Palestine, Israel, as well as in Ukraine and Myanmar and in every war zone. There was a teaching of peace, a conference in Denmark recently. A global peace leadership conference was held in Africa this year. The University of Oxford held a Ox Peace Conference. And this September, there's a peace conference in Japan and Malaysia, Finland, Bangladesh, Mexico, China, Pakistan, Canada, and Italy. And that's just in September. The world is looking for peace. But if you think it's just the world, there's also a striving for peace here in the U.S. People in the U.S. are looking for peace. Last week, if you didn't know it, it was the 55th anniversary of Woodstock. That took place 55 years ago. This was, if you don't know, for those younger crowd, this was a music festival in the late 60s, and there was free love, free music, and free peace. Young adults then and still now are looking for peace. Last week in New Jersey, they held a Latin festival highlighting Peace Week. And it culminated in last Sunday, of 24 hours of peace. There's an organization in the U.S. called the United States Institute of Peace. And next week, they have a PeaceCon conference, which will be held. And their mission is to promote openness of freedom of thought, consciousness, religion, and belief to help de-escalate violence. And we're not finished. There's a peace conference in Orlando, Florida, called the Global Peace Film Festival. Last month, Chicago held a Peace Fest. Philadelphia held a Peace, Love, and Music Fest. And even in our politics, our president is making a claim that he is presiding over an era of peace. And our former President Trump labels himself as a peacemaker. So peace is everywhere. People are striving everywhere for peace across the globe, across the nation. And so studying this, looking at some of the stats, currently, the highest number of countries are engaged in war since the Second World War. So we are striving for peace, wanting peace, and we have the highest number of countries engaged in war since the Second World War. 92 countries are involved in conflict. 110 million people are either refugees or internally displaced. And violent crime and fear of violence is on the increase here in the U.S. The Secretary General of the U.N. says, in troubled world, building peace is humanity's greatest responsibility. So we are all looking for peace. The world is striving for peace. Our nation's leaders are arguing over who can bring the best peace to this country. We're trying to find peace in love, in music. We're obsessed with finding peace. And it's not just about wars that are raging all across this world. The struggle with finding peace is internal, right? We struggle to find that peace individually. People are confused. They're depressed. We're anxious. We're fearful. And we're in pain and suffering. Here's some synonyms for the lack of peace: apprehension, alarm, disturbance, fear, doubt, uncertainty, chaos, strife, unease, contention, unrest, turmoil. These are all words describing a lack of peace. Our culture, our society, our children are crying out for help. Give me relief. Give me some peace. Give me something to keep me going. And there's nothing wrong with wanting peace. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having peace conferences. We have a peace conference here this morning and today, and there's nothing wrong with that. I would like peace in the world, right? I would like peace in our country. I like peace in my home, and I like peace within. But I think this weekend, our search for peace is different from what the world is searching for, right? We are searching for peace. And compared to all those out in the world, we are searching differently. We are looking at different things, and we are searching Scripture. Scripture tells us there is only one peace, only one person that peace comes from, and peace is found solely in the work and the life of birth of Jesus Christ. So what Paul says, our opening verse this morning, what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, I think it leaps off the page. It grabs us by the shirt collar. It speaks into our lives. I think this verse is very relevant, applicable to our day, to our real life, and it's something we all need to hear. It's just a good reminder. And Paul, in this letter, the second letter to Thessalonica, he's addressing the church in Thessalonica, and they are facing many problems. They're facing persecution, and they're afraid. And Paul wants to correct some of their theology as well. And he wants, most importantly, to give them hope and give them a sense of comfort and peace. And so, just like the early church in Thessalonica, we here today, we are facing problems, we are facing difficulties, unease, anxiousness, fearfulness. And Paul, aided by the Holy Spirit, he writes this letter. 2 Thessalonians, he writes this letter to the church, and it begins this letter, and at the end of this letter, at the end of this small letter, he writes a verse. And in this, Paul captures all the hope and the comfort and encouragement and peace that an anxious people need. It's just one verse, one small verse, 20 words. 20 words. God is so compassionate. He's so kind. He understands what we need. He knows what we're looking for, that he loves us. And it's not too difficult. It's not a hard verse to go through. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. So as we walk through this, I want to walk through this verse. And there's five things I want to point out. Five things. And those things are, taking notes, where does our peace come from? Where does our peace come from? Number two, who is this peace meant for? Number three, this peace that he gives is sufficient. Number four, the peace that he has is steadfast. And number five, a secret. The secret. The secret. Capital T. Capital H, capital E, the secret, the secret. Where does peace come from? Number one. Paul starts off by saying that the Lord of peace himself, the emphasis is clearly here. The peace cannot be produced on a human level. This peace comes from a divine source. It's a divine level, and the source is the Lord himself. Paul identifies the Lord as the Lord of peace. So isn't that amazing? That's what everyone in this world is searching for, and we have the answer. It's the Lord of peace. We've been searching for peace in this world, and God has shown us in this simple verse that the Lord is peace. It is God who possesses all peace. He is the God who bestows peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." And when he says the Lord of peace, we would ask, is this the Father? Is this the Son? Is this the Holy Spirit? And here in this first chapter of Thessalonians, Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." God our Father gives us peace. Later in Galatians 5:22, Paul says, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. But here, in this passage in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is talking about Christ. Ephesians 2:13, "But now Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." He, Christ, he is our peace. And so, by the way, side note that all of Scripture teaches that the entire Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, give us peace. But here, Paul is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because in verse 12 and in verse 18, he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of peace means that Jesus Christ possesses all peace, and peace is the very essence of who Christ is. And you'll never read that Jesus was in panic. You'll never read that Jesus panicked. You'll never read that he was anxious or worried. The peace of God, just like his holiness and his righteousness and love and immutability and the truth are but some of the characteristics of God, peace is the very essence of who God is. It's not that he possesses peace. He does. It's that he is peace himself. And therefore, all peace comes from Christ. Jesus is, I like this word, perpetually calm, I heard another pastor say. Jesus is perpetually calm. He is perfectly tranquil. He is always at peace. There are no threats to his sovereignty. When he looks and he sees the rebellion of the world, he laughs. He laughs at the wicked. He's not the least a bit worried about his any threat that would rise up against his kingdom or carrying out his infinitely perfect will. There are no surprises to his omniscience. He never learns anything. He never wakes up in the morning and discovers something that he hasn't known from the foundation of the world. There's no change to his immutability. There's no panic whatsoever in Christ, only perfect peace. And this perfect peace that he possesses is divine. It's transcendent. It's supernatural. It's heavenly. It's deep. It's lasting and it's enduring. Jesus says of his perfect peace that he is Lord. So he says this, he is Lord. Paul says that he is Lord. This means he's the sovereign ruler. He is the supreme commander and chief of all of the armies. He created all things and uphold things. There is no threat to his power, no threat to his decree or his might. He is the Lord of peace. This goes beyond what Christ is saying that he is not just the Lord of peace. This goes beyond just saying he's the Jesus of peace or that he's the Christ of peace. He is the Lord of peace. He is totally, completely in control. Therefore, he has no reason to panic, but to be perfectly calm and secure. And I believe this is a really one of the major emphases of the entire New Testament. What I mean by that is, in my study leading up to this of peace, I came to a realization that this characteristic of God, peace, is quite often overlooked, quite often undervalued. Many of us do not give the peace of God the credit that it's due. And we don't place much importance on it at times. Yeah, we want peace. But do we actually understand that the peace of God, the Lord of peace, is so vitally important? Because God is holy, because he is perfect, so is his peace. His peace is perfect. His peace is holy. Philippians 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." We cannot fully define God's peace because it's supernatural. Our best attempts to put it into words fall short. This is wonderful news because we will never reach the end of it. It's inexhaustible. In Christian doctrine, there's a term called communicable attributes, and these are qualities of God that we share, that we can possess, not on the scale of God, but to a finite level. Peace is a communicable attribute of God, and we can and we should show peace and display peace in our lives. The Pew Research, did a study, and they said that recently we live in an age of anxiety. The age of anxiety. The number of Americans with anxiety is skyrocketing, especially those in their teens. 70% of teenagers are experiencing anxiety and depression. So when God reveals himself as the peace of God, or as the God of peace, it should give us some pause, right? This attribute of God can be a means of real hope and help for those who are struggling with chronic worry. The Bible tells us God possesses peace, but that he is also peace. And like all of God's attributes, this is the very essence of his character. In several places, Paul identifies God as the God of peace. Romans 15:33, 2 Corinthians 13:11, Philippians 4:6. He is identified with peace. It is embedded in his very nature. To say that the God of peace means that he possesses peace, and I'm going to say this repeatedly, he is peace. He is the source of peace. He gives peace. He provides peace, and there is no peace outside of the God who created all things. We see Jesus is held as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. Peace is connected intimately to Jesus, and our experience of peace is connected intimately to a knowing of our Lord. 1 Peter 5:14 says, "Peace be to you all who are in Christ." So when you think of God, think of peace. When you think of Christ, think of the Lord of peace. Another pastor here, I'm quoting, says, "Peace is not merely some attribute God possesses. It is part of the essence of his nature. The significance of this cannot be overstated for us as believers." So why doesn't Paul in this passage say to the God of holiness? Why doesn't he say the God of righteousness? Why doesn't he say the God of sovereignty? Why didn't he say he's addressing it to the God of love? Well, time after time, Paul, in his epistles, he refers to our peace coming from God the Father and in Christ. And so why does he continually say peace from our Lord, the peace of Christ? Why does he continue in that? Because we are sheep. We are so easily spooked, and we need peace. And God makes himself known to us by this attribute on an ongoing basis. We are stressed, right? We get frantic. We get anxious. We're full of anxiety, and the reason is because we're not in control. And it brings fear, and it brings fear of the unknown. It leads to hopelessness, this fear, and it leads to a fear that nothing is going to work out. But God knows what we need. He knows we are feeble. He knows our minds are wayward, and our tendency is to gravitate toward fear, but he is the God of peace. This is not a minor message. This is a major emphasis. God is a God of peace. He is peace. And it's interesting, in Paul's 13 epistles, his letters, he begins each one, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God." All 13. And you can throw in also 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 John, Jude, and Revelation 2. He says, he addresses the people he's writing to, and he says he addresses this with the God, with the Lord of peace. The first thing out of the pen of the Apostle Paul, or the biblical writer of that book, is peace to you. And then at the end of his message, his letter, he says, the Lord of peace. The Lord, the God of peace, he gives you peace. And it's important to know and realize that our source of peace comes from the Lord God in Christ Jesus. He is the source. Number one, our source for peace is the Lord himself. He is peace. Number two, who is this meant for? This peace. So we know where the peace comes from. We know the source of our peace. Who is it meant for? Well, read that verse. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every way. The Lord be with you in all ways." So who is Paul writing to? Who do you think experiences this peace? Well, he wrote it to the believers in Thessalonica. He wrote it to the church in Thessalonica. And by extension, it refers to all believers in all places and all generations. And then at the end of this verse, verse 16, lest there be any doubt, he says, the Lord be with you all. Paul is writing to believers. He is writing to the churches, and he's writing to us, believers in Christ. You cannot have peace. You cannot have true and lasting peace if you're not a blood-bought child of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important, isn't it? Amen. When a person trusts Christ as Savior, they are at peace with God. When someone trusts Christ as Savior, as Lord of their life, there is a peace with God. The Bible teaches that we are enemies before we came to know Him. Once a person is saved, there is peace between them and God. This peace is a result of a new relationship we have with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, the redeemed in Christ, are the subjects of his peace. The Lord God knew what we needed to hear. And we need to hear it often. We need peace. I used to work in retail, and this is a story I've told before in my church, and I just thought it was applicable. And I used to work in I used to work in retail banking, and at times I'd work with alone or with another employee, and one time I was working with a female employee, and it was just us, and it was a slow day, and sometimes we're slow, we can sit and talk and do different things, and we started talking about her church, and she was Catholic, and she told us one day she went to church, and she had a question for me, and she said she went to church, or to Mass, and the priest told the story of Peter walking on water, okay? So Peter's walking on water. Remember that story? The disciples had gotten into the boat, and the winds and the waves came. And we all know the story, and they were afraid, right? Just then, Jesus comes walking out on the water, and they thought he was a ghost. And so they all cried out. But immediately, Christ says, "Do not be afraid." And then Peter asks, "Lord, can I come to you? If that's really you, can I come?" And he says, "Come, Peter, step out onto the water." And he begins to walk, and he begins to walk on the waves toward Christ. But then what? He looks down, and he sees the wind, and he sees the waves, and he begin to be afraid, and begins to sink. And she ended the story right there. That was the end. The priest said, "That's the end." I said, "That's not the end. That is not the end." The priest didn't finish his story. I said, "There's more to the story. There's an ending that shows that he cares for us, he concerns for us. The Lord of Peace was there. He was evident. The Lord of Peace reached out his hand, and he caught Peter, right? And he lifted him up, and he said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" They returned to the boat, and all is calm. Do you experience this peace? Do we always experience this peace? No, but this the Bible says that peace is available. There are times like this woman, there are times when she was despondent, depressed, and sometimes we withdraw from the world and we withdraw from the source of peace by looking to the world and looking to the waves and the wind and the troubles and the heartaches. And they take our peace. And that's when we begin to sink. And when I begin to sink, but I cry out. But when you cry out to the Lord, He saves. He reaches out. He reaches out a hand. And He pulls you in. And He reinstills the peace within us. God knew there would be storms in our lives. We are panicked. We sometimes are afraid. Health issues, financial issues, relational, marriage issues. But God wrote these words for our encouragement and that we could gain peace. Peace is meant for us, believers in Christ. And this peace is, number three, is sufficient. This peace is sufficient. Now may the Lord of peace be himself. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with you all. In verse 16, it says, may the Lord of peace himself always, continually grant you peace in every way. Some versions say in every circumstance or by all means. This should cause you to go, because God's peace is not dependent on my circumstances. That in every circumstances, whether it be good or bad or anything in between, he gives peace. Because what? Because he is sovereign. He is in control. He rules over every circumstance. He rules over every means and in every way. We know that because the word Lord at the beginning. He is the Lord of peace. He is the Lord of all circumstances. He is the Lord of our lives. He is the Lord of the universe. Everything is under his control and his supreme authority. And he is working all things together for our good and his glory. He gives peace in every circumstance because he is present in every circumstance. He is not only, he is sovereign over, but in every circumstance he is present in. It's not that he is just upon his throne far away, but he is near to us. He is ever present. And because he's omnipresent, because he is with us, he is with us in these storms of life. He walks with us in the valleys of life, in the fires of life. He is presence with us. He is present with us. And that can be our greatest strength, that he is with us. The end of verse 16 says, the Lord be with you all. That's all we need, for the Lord to be with us in every circumstance. And Jesus gives peace in every circumstance because he is working through every circumstance. Not only is he sovereign over and present in, but he is working through every circumstance. There is no random acts. There is no random events. There are no haphazard events. God is working through every trial, every heartache, everything that happens, God is working. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He gives peace when our circumstances are in poverty. He gives peace when our circumstances are in prosperity. He gives peace when our circumstances are adversity. His peace is sufficient for us in every way and in every circumstances of our life. And this peace, number four, is steadfast. He is steadfast. Verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with you all. He hasn't, I think it's important, he hasn't delegated this out to his angels to show up with peace. He hasn't passed on this to a secondary distributor. There's no middleman in peddling this peace. It is the Lord of peace himself. He is directly and individually involved in our lives to give us peace. And there's no peace to be found anywhere else. In anywhere else in this world, it is the Lord himself. The Lord is unchangeable, immutable. The Lord who always was, who always is, and who always will be, he is steadfast. He is our rock. Psalm 78:35. He's our fortress. Psalm 18:2. He is unchanging. Malachi 3:6. He is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46. He is steadfast. His throne of grace is always open. It's always open to us to grant us peace every moment, every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. When we find ourselves in troubles and anxieties of life, is it the Lord who is there? Is it the Lord who speaks peace to you? And the question is, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we open? Are we responsive? He is continually speaking peace to our troubled hearts. Isaiah 26 says, Lord, you will establish peace for us. Isaiah 57:19 says, peace be to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter where you live, what zip code you're in, where you work, what your background is, how big your family is, how small your family is, what's your social background, how much money you have in the bank, whether you have money at all, the Lord is with you and he is speaking to you, peace to you, peace to you. Isaiah 66:12 says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So when I'm in the middle of a desert, when I'm in the wilderness, when it's parched, when it's dry, when it's barren, there's still a river of peace that is abundant, that comes flowing from the throne of God, and it overruns, and it overflows, and it invades my life and my soul. This is the steadfastness of peace. It is steadfast. What's our source of peace? The Lord himself. Who's it meant for? It's meant for believers in the Lord. This peace that he gives is steadfast. And what's the other one? Forgot the word. Sufficient. Amen. Thank you. He's sufficient, and it's steadfast. And so number five, the secret. What's the secret? How do we get this peace? Verse 16, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every, always in every way, the Lord be with you all. He concludes verse 16 with a very important sentence. He says, the Lord be with you all. Remember the word all, it refers to every Christian. No matter who you are, where you are in the body of Christ, this peace is for you. When the Lord says peace, when he says the Lord be with you all, it is the Lord who is already present with us, and he would make his presence felt and known among us. So when Paul says the Lord be with you all, it is the Lord who is already present with us. He would make his presence felt and known among us and sustain us and comfort us and direct us. He is with us in our most difficult situations. He is with us in the death of a spouse or parent. He is with us in the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship. He is with us in the storms of life. He is with us. And why is he with us? He wants to give us peace. That's what verse 16 is saying. He said, this verse is saying if peace is from the Lord, if peace finds the source in the Lord, if believers are the ones that this peace is meant for and directed towards, if this peace is sufficient, if this peace is steadfast, if it's flowing like a river and it's flowing to me, if God desires to be the Lord of peace in my life, then what is incumbent upon me to know and to experience this peace? You come to a conference and we talk about peace. And you're asking, how can I get this peace? What's the answer? We hear a lot of theology. But what's practical? What's the practical information? And I don't want anyone to leave this conference and go, oh, I was at this peace conference, and I heard a lot about peace, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to obtain it. Well, here's the secret. Number five, here's the secret, okay? Here's what we've been waiting for. Here's a secret to the Lord of peace, and it's really no secret. For those believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, three things. Trust Him. Love Him. Obey Him. Trust God. Peace is not built on a human relationship or human circumstance. Peace is built upon a divine relationship with our Lord God. I can't give you peace. Your wife can't give you peace. Your spouse can't give you peace. Having kids can't give you peace. Amen? There's only one person in the universe who is peace, who has peace, who can give us peace, and that is the Lord of peace, Jesus Christ Himself. And so we need to trust Him. Trust Him with all our hearts and all our minds, and lean not on our own understanding. There's a great peace that flows from the throne of God to Him, from Him to us, and we are to trust Him. And that means I must know Him. This means I must spend time in His Word. I must pray. I must commit my burdens to Him. This means I must worship Him. This means I must commune with our Father. And the more I grow to know Him, the more I can trust Him. The reason we don't trust Him is because we don't know Him. And we don't know Him as we should. If we knew Him better, we would trust Him better. And when we trust Him, the peace of God flows into our souls. And that's where this begins. We need to trust God. What are those things that easily so entangle your heart and becomes burden and becomes cause of worry in your life? Whatever those are, bring those to the Lord. Confess them what they are. Cast them upon the Lord God. Entrust the whole situation to Him. Say, Lord, I'm not going to be anxious about this anymore. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I want to give those to You. Lord, I'm going to trust You that You can take this situation, whatever it is, and use it for My good and for Your glory. When we commit our cares to the Lord, they are now God's concerns. These now are God's problems to work out. He is faithful. He is faithful to keep His promises. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who is promised is faithful. So number one, trust God. Number two, love God. Number two, love God. The more we love God, the more we receive peace from Him. The more we love God, the more our heart is open with and one with Him. As I grow to love God with greater depths of relationship, beholding the beauty of His holiness, of His omnipotence, of His omniscience, His wisdom, His glory, His mercy, the more I get to know Him and thus love Him. That's why peace is never found in a formula. You do these seven things and do these eight items and you'll have peace in your life. That's not how it works. It's not found within peace is found within the confines of a relationship with Christ Jesus. If we want to love God more, we want to know Him, we need to know Him more deeply. And the more we search the Scriptures and the more we focus our minds and attention on who God is and what He is and what He does, the more we can understand just a tiny bit of Him, with a bit more about Him, and the more our souls break out in a flame, this fire that builds and builds. To love God is to hold Him in high esteem, to think about Him with reverence and with adoration. The more we love God, the more we'll worship Him. True knowledge of God always bears fruit in greater love for God and a greater desire to praise Him. The more we know Him, the more glorious He will appear to us. And the more glorious He appears to us, the more inclined we will be to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. That's number three. So trust God. Love God. Number three, obey God. Obey Him. Disobedience always forfeits peace. That was not my quote. It was another pastor. Disobedience always forfeits peace. Peace is not automatic. Now the peace of God is flowing from the throne to us. It's continuous. And so it is that the Lord has opened the windows of heaven and His peace is flowing like a river to us. But when we are disobedient, to His word, His peace does not soak into the soil of our hearts and we run away from His word. We must be a people who obey the Lord. We need to follow His commands. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There is no other commandment greater than these. But at times we fail. And when we do, we must be a people who confess our sins. As we confess our sins, there is a flood of peace flowing into our hearts from the throne of grace. The number one prerequisite is that you know the Lord. The ultimate peace is to know the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and to know our God, our Father, who loves us, and to know His eternal comfort and good hope. The peace that matters most is the peace that not only comes through grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that matters most is the peace that only comes through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no peace for those who do not know Lord Christ as their Savior. Those apart from Him are left to go on their own way. You're left to try to make something happen in your own strength. You're left to search the world for peace. You're left to search a world for peace that the world offers, and it's this peace that the world offers is temporary and it's fleeting. It's not steadfast. It's not sufficient. The supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, comes from the Lord, and He gives that to His children and to His people. Millions and millions and millions of people are searching for peace. If they would just turn to the Lord Christ and stop looking in the wrong places, they would find true, lasting peace. Who's read Pilgrim's Progress? Probably everybody. So if you don't know, if you haven't read it, I recommend it. I would say that it's a beautiful book. And so if you don't know, this classic book records the journey of a man named Christian. And he's the every person. And he's on a journey. And he's on a pilgrimage to heaven. Along the way, the main character, Christian, he encounters obstacles that tests his faith, and he meets other characters in his journey, and they help him show the difference between right and wrong. And on his journey, Christian is traveling, and he sees the Palace Beautiful, and he's hoping to get lodging there for the night. He meets the porter. Porter of the palace comes to the door as Christian knocks, and he knocks, and Christian says, "May I lodge here tonight?" And the porter of the palace says, "This palace was built by the Lord of the Hill, and He built it for the relief and the security of pilgrims." So, Christian's on his journey, he's traveling, he's going down the road, needs a place to stay for the night. He sees the palace, and he comes, and he knocks on the door, and he says, "Please let me stay here tonight. Can I lodge here?" And the porter, the man in charge, comes and says, this palace was built by the Lord of the Hill. He built it for the relief and the security of pilgrims." And then the porter calls three maidens. He goes, "Let me talk to the maidens, the maiden Discretion, to see if she would approve of his stay here tonight." And after talking with Discretion and another maiden named Prudence and Piety and Charity, they bring Christian in, they give him something to drink, and they, quoting, says, agreed that for the best improvement of time, they would converse with Christian until supper was ready. So you bring him in. They talk with him, and as they're preparing supper or dinner, they're talking with him, conversing. And I want to read a little passage from this. And so there's a story, there's a stage, they're talking and dinner's coming, and thus they sat talking together until supper was ready. When they sat down to eat, the table was abundantly furnished like a feast. All the talk of the table was about the Lord of the hill. And what about he had done, this Lord of the hill, and why he did what he did, and also why he had built the palace. But what they said, Christian perceived that he had been a great warrior. Christian perceived that he, the Lord of the hill, had been a great warrior, and with great danger to himself, had fought with and had slain him who had the power of death. This made Christian love the Lord of the hill all the more. I'm reading it like I'm reading it to my children. For as they said, he did it with great loss of blood, but that which put grace and the glory into all that he did was that he did it out of pure love to his people. There were some of the household who said they had spoken with him since he died on the cross. They had attested that they heard it from his own lips, that he is such a lover of poor pilgrims, that none like him can be found in all the world. And as an instance of what they affirmed, they told how he had stripped himself of his glory, that he might die for poor sinners. They also heard him say that he would not dwell in the celestial city alone. They added, moreover, that he had advanced many pilgrims to be princes, though by nature they were born beggars and objects of wrath. Thus they discoursed together until late at night. After they had committed themselves to the Lord for protection, they went to their rooms to rest. Okay, here's my point. They're talking, and they're talking about the Lord, and after they committed to the Lord for protection, they prayed for the night, and they went to their rooms. Pilgrim Christian was given a large upper chamber whose window opened toward the sun rising, and the name of the chamber was Peace. Did you know that? The name of this chamber was Peace. There Christian slept until the break of day, and then he awoke. Christian awoke from this chamber of peace. He had rested, and he sang out this song. He says, "Where am I now? Is this the love and care of Jesus for the men that pilgrims are? Thus to provide that I should be forgiven and dwell already the next door to heaven." Are you on the road to the celestial city? Are you on the road to the celestial city? And if so, as you travel this road, do you find yourselves weary and worried and confused at times and troubled and anxious, maybe depressed, maybe despondent? At times the enemy is breathing on your neck and trials and tribulations are following you and weighing you down just like Christian. And you need a break, just a little break. I just need a little break. Can I have a little bit of peace right now? Christian found peace on his journey. Peace was possible because the Lord of the hill made a palace. He made a place that weary travelers could stop in, refresh themselves, and be encouraged to journey, continue on the journey. You can find that same peace that Christian experienced. The Lord of the hill is waiting. The smile of God is upon us. He is in control of our lives. He is causing all things to work together for our good. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He can move heaven and earth to bring it about. He hears our prayers. He responds according to His perfect wisdom. He will never, never leave us nor forsake us. Who has begun a good work in us shall perfect it until the day of Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures. He makes me lie down to still waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. If you find yourself here today and you hear this message and you don't have peace, He is bringing awareness to you that you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's what God is doing in your heart, and only the Lord can do that, tell God what a sinner you are. Tell Him you need grace, you need forgiveness. Repent and believe on the Lord of peace. He came into this world as the Prince of Peace. He came into the world of confusion and chaos and anxiety. And He lived a perfect and sinless life. He offered Himself upon that cross. He died willingly on your behalf. He took the punishment you deserved so that He could bring what? Peace between you and the Father. Jesus will abundantly forgive you. He will pardon you. He will come into your life. He will speak to the storms of your life. He will give you peace in the midst of all you are suffering. He will give you what your soul desperately longs for the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. Romans 4:7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Peace comes from knowing our sins are forgiven. We stand righteous before God because of the work, the life, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this peace? Do you have this peace? Do you have peace with God? I'll close with this. John MacArthur, I'm going to quote him. True spiritual peace is completely different from the superficial, the fragile human peace. How about that? It is the deep, settled confidence that all is well between the soul of God, the soul and God, because of His loving, sovereign control of one's life, both in time and eternity. That calm assurance is based on the knowledge that our sins are forgiven. Blessing is present. Good is abundant, even in trouble. And heaven is at ahead. The peace that God gives His beloved children as their possession and privilege has nothing to do with the circumstances of life. I pray that you would receive this peace today and that you would know that He is speaking to your heart, and may God's people know the abundance is surpassing all encompassing, the steadfast, sufficient peace that comes only from the One who is peace, the Lord of peace, the Prince of peace, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for your word, Father, that you know in the trials and tribulations that life brings to us, Father, that we need to hear that you are the peace. That you are peace continually. We need to hear that continually, Father. Thank you that you reminded us in your word that true, lasting, steadfast, sufficient peace comes only from our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you glory and honor and praise. And it's His name we pray. Amen.